Hey, and welcome to the No Code SaaS podcast. And we are live for the first time. We're trying out doing the podcast live. So that means everyone can kind of join in and ask us questions in the comments as we go. But yeah, it's me, James, and I've got Kieran here.
Hi, everyone. James, can you hear that music in the background, or is that just me?
Yeah, no, it's there. Yeah, I'll just turn it down. There we go.
Right,
the
cool.
Intro music. Cool. No,
very
yeah,
nice. Nice touch.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about the two big kind of events that have happened in the no-code world over the last few weeks. So first of all, that was the No-Code Summit, which happened in Paris about 2.5 weeks ago. And then we also had the first ever BubbleCon, which was hosted by Bubble in New York, which was happening at this time last week. Kieran and I were both there for both of them. So we were going to kind of give you a bit of a lowdown of what happened, everything that was announced at both of them, and just to give you a bit of a flavor of, what went down. So, yeah, Kieran, I don't know if you want to kick it off with the No Code Summit in Paris, which was the first one that we went to.
Yeah, definitely. It was a great time. It was my first time at any kind of No Code conference or anything. I've only ever been to like small No Code events before. To be honest, I was really impressed at how big it was and how professionally done it was. It was like a proper kind of, you know, show up and big security guards scanning your tag and going in, and there were, I don't know how many stages, 6 different stages or 8 maybe, with like 5 or 6 different talks going on all the time. So that's a lot of talks. To be honest, we didn't make it to many talks, because we were just really more excited about the people who were there. So any event like this, you know, the thing that really gets me excited is meeting people who are actually makers, building with no code tools. And yeah, we were lucky enough to meet quite a few people who we knew from the Twitter sphere, and hang out with them. And not to mention the fact that we went over with Max Haining from 100 Days of No Code. So got to enjoy the journey over with him and share an Airbnb. And it's always good hanging out with Max. So yeah, that was really, really fun.
Yeah, it was such a great kind of group to go over there for, because we had those three different perspectives, didn't we? Which kind of I guess we'll come on to later about the actual talk that we gave, but we're coming at it from kind of the angle of SaaS education and freelancing, which I think gave us all kind of a unique kind of take on everything we saw. But I think the main thing I was shocked about was just the size of the event. I really wasn't expecting it to be that big. I'd never been to Station F in Paris before. I'd read about it a lot, obviously, and the scale of it is just mind-boggling. And I think there was something like 3,000 attendees at the No Code Summit. So yeah, I was, you know, it just is a real sign that this whole ecosystem is thriving. It's getting bigger and bigger. You know, the number of companies that were there exhibiting was really impressive. And it was just, yeah, it's kind of exciting to see the whole movement like taking gaining momentum and steam as it goes, but it was certainly really good.
Yeah, and it was, you know, definitely brought home how big it is in France as well. I met so many French people who are no coders who've been doing it for a long time, and obviously, you know, one of the Bubble founders is French, so maybe that has something to do with it. But it just seems like the French have really jumped onto the no code movement in a big way, far more than I feel is happening in the UK for some reason.
Definitely. I mean, even from the kind of opening party on the first night in Paris, just the number of people at that event, you know, it was just about no code. It was like there was already hundreds of people just at that opening party. And a lot of them were from No Code France. And I was kind of blown away by that because, yeah, we just don't have anything like that in the UK. And I feel like in the US, it's also quite dispersed. There's people, you know, there's a lot of people into no code, but they're all around the country. Whereas in France, it was great to see everyone together. And I think it gave us a bit of a kick as well to say, well, we feel like there should be something like that in the UK, and there should be more of a no code community here, because I feel like there's a lot of people using it, but we maybe don't always see each other that often. There aren't that many events. So we kind of just speak online. So that also kind of got us thinking about, you know, what could we do to kind of help nurture that ecosystem in the UK as well. But yeah, I mean, it was a great start to the event. I thought it was really good. There was a lot of talks. There was a lot of stages as well that I wasn't expecting. Even just finding the stages was pretty tricky. Such was the scale of it. Even just getting to find what you wanted to see was pretty tricky. But yeah, there were some great talks. I think there were a lot of talks from the tools themselves there. I think, as we spoke about a bit, there was a lot of content from startups, and it would be great maybe in future to see more from people who were also like working with the tools in the ecosystem. I don't know if you thought that as well, Kieran.
Yeah, well, I can understand from the point of view of someone who doesn't really know much about no code and is just discovering it for the first time, they might want to go to all these different talks and hear about what all the tools do. As the more I get into no code, the more I actually just become a one trick pony. Is that a saying? One trick pony? Just focus on Bubble. So I'm not really that interested in learning about other no code tools. And least of all, sitting through a really long talk about them in a lecture theatre. So, to be honest, I only went to one talk the whole time, and I didn't really enjoy that one very much. So I was more about just hanging out with people, meeting people like, Kelly Claus, who's a legend in the Bubble space and has been building with Bubble for so long and is always on Twitter. It was so nice to meet her in real life. And Chad Sakonchik, who's the founder of Better Legal, which they switched their app from Code to Bubble a couple of years ago, and they're saving tons of money, and he just loves Bubble now. So hanging out with people like that really was the highlight for me. But also the cool thing was I had applied to, like, when I bought the ticket, I saw that you could apply to be a speaker, and so I had submitted an application just on a whim, just like, you know, hey, I'm here, I can talk about anything like you want me to talk about, here's my background. And like 2 weeks before the summit, they emailed and said, oh, we have a slot for you. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm quite far down the priorities list as it's like literally in a couple of weeks. But they were like, you can take whatever format you want, and we think people would like to hear something from like an actual maker rather than a company. So we got together, you, me, Max and Kelly, and we gave quite an interesting talk, I thought, which was actually pretty much the last talk of the entire thing.
Yeah, it was on paper it looked like quite a tough slot, I thought, because we were right at the very end, kind of just at the same time as all the closing remarks, so we weren't really sure how many people were going to come. But we were super, it was great. It was like standing room only at the back. And, you know, we had so many long chats with people afterwards that were, you know, interested in talking to us more about it. That was one of the highlights of the trip for me, I think, was, as you say, meeting all these great people that we've kind of known online through Twitter or X so well. To actually meet them in real life was the real highlight of that for me. And the great thing was quite a few of them were also over in New York for the Bubble event as well. So it was great to meet a couple of people for the first time in Paris and then see them again. A lot of familiar faces when we were over in New York as well. But yeah, I think it was all about the meeting people there for me and seeing the tools. And how well they're doing. You know, these are kind of serious platforms now. And they're, they're getting more and more kind of velocity and users using them. So those were the highlights for me, I think, from Paris. Was there anything else that stood out to you?
No, I think that's all. I think we can move on now to BubbleCon, which, me was, I guess, more exciting because we had to go to New York, which is always like an exceptionally exciting place, enough to get your heart rate up. But obviously Bubble is a tool that we use every day and have done for a number of years. So being surrounded by people who almost exclusively build with Bubble, there were just far more makers. I mean, there was no corporate presence really apart from the Bubble team. So everyone there was either a freelancer or teaching Bubble or running an agency that builds on Bubble or running a SaaS that runs on Bubble. So yeah, everyone was, I think, a lot more aligned on their interests. And it was just, it was so easy to talk to people because you already had this massive thing in common. You're all kind of making a living the same way. And yeah, totally reliant on this one tool, but also super excited about where it's going. So yeah, it was really a highlight of the year for me, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess for anyone who isn't kind of aware of what it was, so it was a 2-day conference in New York hosted by Bubble. It was the first time they'd ever hosted an event like this before. And obviously Bubble, anyone who isn't familiar with it, is a platform for building app software without being a programmer, kind of in a visual way. And this was, you know, this had been on everyone's wish list for months and months, or years even. You know, I think we'd all wanted to have a kind of an event where everyone globally came together, you know, with our shared love of this fantastic tool. And I think I was struck by how international the audience was. I mean, there were people from every corner of the earth. Some people had even come from Australia. There were people from Africa, from every continent were there. And it was really, really great. I think it was just the friendliness and supportive nature of everyone together. You know, we were all kind of bonded by our idiosyncratic love for this platform. And we had these conversations about quite technical stuff that I don't think any of us had ever had before. There's people who maybe haven't used a tool like Bubble before, just don't know what you're talking about half the time. But there we were able to have like really in-depth technical chats. But yeah, I thought it was a really great event. So the first day was pretty much dominated by the Immerse Awards. So this is an accelerator that Bubble run. And it was the quality of the pitches, I thought, was just exceptional. You know, everyone who presented puts in so much effort, and there was, you know, the quality of the products was just fantastic. And I was lucky enough to be one of the mentors who worked with one of the founders on that program, Deb, who was building Dart CC. And yeah, it was just great to see what people are building with the Bubble platform, and to, you know, see that, you know, Bubble as a company as well are trying to, you know, give something back and, you know, get the ecosystem going. So I thought that was a nice way to start the conference. Did you have any memories from that first day, Kieran?
Yeah, definitely. I thought the Immerse presentations were excellent, and it was also incredible that they'd only started learning Bubble like within the previous few months. I was also a mentor to one of the founders. And yeah, the speed that they'd got these products out from not knowing Bubble at all, so having stuff which looked really quite impressive and complex, together with the fact that they were all solving like really big problems in specific niches where they had domain knowledge, which I thought it was just a perfect representation of like what Bubble can do, enabling these people who, you know, otherwise would have potentially had to, you know, hire a development agency if they wanted to build their app, and it probably never would have happened because it would have been very expensive and taken a long time, but they could just build it themselves. And you know, two of the apps were helping pets and dogs and things like that, which was obviously a crowd pleaser. And yeah, the presentations were really good. The pitches were top quality. I would swear they were all like TV presenters.
Absolutely. Yeah, they were very, very impressive. And then on the next day, it was more of a focus on the Bubble as a platform, on what the next 12 months or even longer out looked like. So there was a lot of product announcements, AMAs, discussions about the roadmap, things like that. So it was much more content about the platform itself. And that's where we got some really, really exciting announcements. And it kind of, I think for me, altogether, they cemented, you know, Bubble's position as being, you know, the de facto no-code software development platform. And I think also it really started to shed some of the misconceptions about it as well, you know, that it is only a tool for MVPs or apps with no scale, or that you can't build a serious product on it. You know, I think that was really all, you know, it's put to bed, I think, now from, you know, some of these announcements, especially around bulk data. But I don't know, do you want to kick off with talking maybe a bit about, I think was probably the most talked about announcement, which was about native mobile.
Yeah, this was something that had been rumored, and I was always like, no, I don't believe it. It can't be. I didn't want to believe it. And to be honest, I wasn't that excited about the thought of being able to ship mobile apps from Bubble, because I've never really had an idea for a mobile app that I was that into, that I wanted to actually make it into an app. But since they've announced that, I've actually started thinking of ideas, and now I can't wait for them to release it. But yeah, the idea is currently you can make a mobile app using Bubble, but you need to use this wrapper from BDK. Well, there are other ways of doing it, but that's the most popular way, which kind of wraps your web app and turns it into a mobile app. But my understanding is that you lack certain functionality if you do it that way. It's not quite as slick and as fast as it would be if it were a real native mobile app. So this new announcement, which some people initially thought, okay, this is just going to be Bubble doing their own wrapper, turns out that they are actually doing it properly. So they're going to use React Native as the code that is going to run these mobile apps. And then you're going to be able to hopefully deploy straight to the app stores from Bubble itself. That's my understanding, or that's my hope. And that means you will have access to all these interactions and features that you didn't have previously with BDK.
Yeah, and I think that was, you know, core to the announcement for me, was that, you know, we're not just talking about a wrapped web app here, which I don't think would have been very exciting. We are talking about being able to build like fully native, you know, native feeling applications with that React Native core. So I think they were talking about, you know, all the transitions and the modals and notifications, like literally everything is going to be there. And I think the way that they said it was going to be implemented also was quite interesting, is that it will live as another surface alongside your main Bubble web app. So you'll have your main, you know, kind of Bubble project as you have it today, which is your web app. And then you have your mobile surface as well, but they both use the same database, backend workflows and everything. So you can still have a lot of kind of cross communication between them. But yeah, I mean, I think it's going to open up a huge new addressable market for Bubble, I think, because there are a lot of people who only want to build on native mobile. And this is really going to let them do that. And bring all of that power of Bubble's backend and, you know, API connector, all of these things, to really build some really impressive stuff, I think. So I think Bubble said we're looking at kind of next year, I think around summer, I think it was, potentially, to see this. But you could sign up for the beta today at bubble.io/mobile. But yeah, the project is really just kicking off at this stage. I think they said they had done some kind of proof of concept, so they were confident this was going to be like technically possible. But yeah, the team has just kind of been spun up this year, and they're starting to work on it. But I thought that was, you know, really, really exciting. It's bringing, you know, it's an entire, you know, app development platform, cloud, database, every IDE, like everything you can do, everything end to end in Bubble now. So really, really exciting. Yeah, so I thought mobile was one of the highlights for me.
Yeah, definitely. And the fact that, you know, you're using the same database and some of the same workflows as you do in your web app means you can really build some really nice companion mobile apps to existing web apps. And it's not going to be too much extra work. Whereas if you wanted to do that in native code, you would have like completely different code bases for your mobile app and your web apps. And then, yeah, you'd have to synchronize the database. It would be, yeah, pretty difficult to do. So it's going to almost, you know, create a whole new value proposition in terms of building web apps and mobile apps together very quickly.
Absolutely. And then it kind of ties in a little bit to the next feature, kind of big feature that was announced, which was Bubble AI. So I think to kind of clarify what this is, obviously today already you can do tons and tons of, you know, impressive stuff with AI in Bubble just through the API connector that they have already. So, for example, both of our apps use the API connector and OpenAI to connect to things. So you can already do a lot within Bubble. But this is really talking about utilizing AI to help help you build applications through text prompts alone. So I think there were a couple of demos shown, I think they're up on YouTube now, about just being able to say, design me a marketing page for this product, or I want to build a CRM for a dentist or whatever. And the idea is that you can go from a text prompt to a fully functioning app, you know, that is the end goal, really. So for me, I think the whole AI thing was probably not aimed more at advanced users. It's more at easing the onboarding and for people who've never considered building an app before. Like, if you can really go in with a text prompt and describe what you need, it really just lowers the whole bar of entry to being able to build an app. So at the moment, yes, Bubble have made it a lot easier, but you do have to have some understanding of design, like database design, workflows, all this kind of stuff. So I think this is really kind of abstracting it another layer to make it even easier, where you can go from a text prompt of describing the app that you want and getting a useful output. So yeah, I think that will be an interesting one to see how it broadens again the market, and it just opens up more people to start building software who would never have considered doing it before.
Yeah, I think for me, and I think also for a lot of the people there, this was probably the least exciting announcement, purely because most of the people there were fairly advanced bubblers, and I can't imagine, at least not yet, that anything produced by AI is really going to be pixel perfect and work perfectly and be consistent across the app. Like, and even if it was, I just feel like, as you know, it's kind of like saying to an artist, oh, hey, we've got this AI that's going to paint beautiful pictures for you, so you never need to pick up your paintbrush again. And the artist is going to be like, this sounds horrible. Well, as a developer, I enjoy developing apps. I don't enjoy designing, that's true, but I enjoy putting together a UI and thinking about where everything goes. So I'm not that excited about an AI doing it all for me. And it does kind of raise some questions about, what is there going to be a role for developers in the future if AI can do everything? I'm confident there will be a role, but I don't know what that looks like. So that in itself is, kind of slightly scary to think about. Definitely this for me was not that exciting, slightly scary, but potentially could be really good for beginners. Although I think more useful would probably be using AI to onboard people and teach them more about app development and the fundamentals, rather than just saying, okay, enter your prompt and here's your app. Because then when stuff starts going wrong, then they're just going to have to rely on asking the AI to fix things. And yeah, I don't see AI getting there anytime soon.
No, and I think, it might be that it's in certain parts of the products it's more useful than others, like maybe in helping you set up complex API connections and things like that, which I already use ChatGPT to help me out with anyway, like with that kind of thing. So it's kind of bringing in some of that assistant type capability. But yeah, I think we're quite far from putting in a prompt and getting the perfect app that exactly matches your requirements out at the other end. I think it's more hopefully going to do kind of what Shopify's approach has been, where it's really supercharging their assistant and their help, and it can take actions for you. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly how that rolls out. But yeah, I think it's it wasn't the top announcement for me. Moving on to the next one, which I think, is maybe slightly more technical, but I think it's an exciting development, was the ability to return data from custom events, which is, I guess, the no-code equivalent of a function. So this was something that I think is going to be, really exciting, is that you can simplify and streamline the design of a lot of apps, so that you can, instead of having things in multiple places or having to always do it as a back-end workflow, you can create an event, give it an input, and then get an output again to use wherever in the app. So I thought that was a potentially quite an exciting one that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to help with our building, making our apps a lot cleaner, making them smaller, reducing the number of workflows, and yeah, reducing the amount of repetition in the app, so making them easier to maintain in the future as well. So that's all excellent. Like, I don't know if the custom events are still gonna only be accessible from like the page you're on, or like, you know, you have to have a reusable on the page with the custom event, or if there's going to be a point where you can somehow access all your custom events from anywhere in the app, which would be really cool. I guess you can do that with backend workflows at the moment, but you can't return data from them. So I don't know if that's part of the plan, but certainly, yeah, I don't have a problem with putting them all into reusables and bunging them all on every page so I can access them.
Yeah, and I guess we're waiting to see confirmation of this, but really I would love to see them behave effectively like a back-end workflow that you could access anywhere in the app. Because as you say, that is one of the, it is a bit of a downfall at the moment of not being able to return data from a back-end workflow in Bubble. I mean, obviously we've found ways of around it, so you can kind of hack it through the API connector to return the data. But it would be really, really, really nice if that was built into Bubble, that you could run a function, get data back from anywhere on the front end, and ideally have that run on the back end. So I'm kind of interested to see more about this as it's announced. I don't think this one was too far off in the future in the order of all of the things that were announced. So, yeah, super excited about that. The next kind of big announcement that kind of got quite a few cheers, I think, was about bulk workflows. So I think anyone who's dealt with any kind of data at scale in Bubble is that, you know, managing that through the existing UI can be quite tricky. So if you want to make changes to hundreds of thousands of things or process loads of records, delete them, you know, that is where Bubble has not been the strongest up to now. It's the interface is pretty janky for that. So we saw a bit of a peer into what was going to be coming, and it looked very, very promising. So it was the promise of being able to run batch jobs on millions, or beyond events in Bubble, and see them processing, no longer having to rely on recursive workflows, which have kind of been a bit of a hack around for that, I think. So just kind of, I think that's how a lot of people have dealt with it, is if using a back-end workflow, which then calls itself again at the end and kind of loops through stuff until it's finished. Hopefully that is all going to be a thing of the past with these bulk workflows. But yeah, what did you make of those, Kieran?
Yeah, I think that it will be super useful. I mean, I've never had an app where I had to make changes to like millions of things. So I've been using looping workflows, but it is quite annoying to set one up. There's always possibilities of going wrong and making an infinite loop somewhere. You usually have to like put a button somewhere on a hidden page in your UI that you then have to deploy to live and click the button, and then you don't want anyone else to click it. And it all does feel a bit hacky. So it would be great to, you know, like in the database view where you can put in constraints and stuff so you can see only certain database records, it'd be great to just be able to, you know, make mass changes to all of those things. I don't know what plan that this function is going to be on, but I'm hoping it will be on all the plans so I can actually use it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was one of the ones I was kind of more excited about. And, you know, I think it helps also with this whole narrative of Bubble being a platform that you can build software on that scales. But obviously, there were a few panels as well that had some founders on that had built, you know, seriously scaled apps. And I think this is a really good thing. And we need more of this kind of content, basically, because there are a lot of, you know, extremely high volume, very successful bits of software that are built with Bubble out there. And I think the more that we can push that, the better. And in fact, I think Chad on that panel had a really good point, is that I think there are going to be more and more companies that have built software with Salesforce, or, you know, they've built tools in Salesforce, that are actually going to be starting to look at other platforms. So maybe, you know, actually the barrier is now so low to go and recreate what we have in Salesforce in Bubble, and actually have it completely tailored to our needs. And the pricing is, you know, very, very favorable in comparison. We're going to see more people looking you know, towards Bubble, especially for things like internal tooling, you know, where maybe something like you may have looked at something like Retool, but actually Bubble is a really good match for stuff like that. So yeah, love to see more discussion about, you know, people have been successful with it, because I do think that is, you know, there is often a tendency to focus just on this MVP, building a very simple, quick app, which is, yes, fun, but it isn't really scratching the surface of what's possible. So, yeah, really excited to see more of that kind of thing. And then I think there were a couple of other talks. Do you want to talk a little bit maybe about Gregory Johns from BuildCamp's talk about design? I thought that was really good.
Yeah, well, you know, he is a great speaker. He's one of the few people who is really nailing design in Bubble. And he's teaching it in a way that, you know, non-designers like us can really understand. And he's teaching really good best practices about how to set up your apps and create projects and reuse your styles and things like that. I've seen him talk before, so I was like, oh, it's probably going to be the same stuff, but actually it was like way more in depth than what I've seen him say previously. But a few of the big takeaways for me were, one, he alerted me to the fact that you can make reusable elements, but then you can right click and detach them, so they're no longer a reusable element. So he said basically you can create your own component library of components that you use across all your apps. And so you would build a master app, which is what he called it. So that would have all your styles set up as you like them. And then you would have all your reusables, which are things like pop-ups or things like groups and different UIs that you repeatedly use, have them saved as reusables, and then you can just drag them onto a page, detach them, and then they are their own instance of that thing. And then you can obviously customize them and customize the colors based on the branding of that project. So that, to me, as someone who is A, bad at design, and B, likes to work really fast, just sounds excellent and is definitely something I'm going to do, because, as you know, I've been using a lot of UI kits, but there are times when I customize those and I would like to be able to use that customization again. So yeah, that was excellent. And then he just talks a lot about you know, the 4-point spacing and color theory and things like that, and how he goes about choosing all the colors for his apps and where he gets them from and things like that, which I think if you don't know anything about design, it's like really eye-opening. The first time I heard him say this stuff, I was like, okay, now like I finally understand why my app always looks terrible and other apps which are very similar, which I've tried to copy, look much better. It's like one pixel actually does make a difference, even if you don't consciously notice it. So yeah, I highly recommend, like, he's got on I think his talk's on YouTube now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, they've all
I highly recommend checking it out, because it was really excellent. And, you know, if Bubblers can up their game when it comes to design, then we won't get so much flack from Webflow people saying that you can't design in Bubble.
Yeah, and I think I learned a ton of stuff as well in that one, just about, you know, some of the basics about spacing and all this, you know, actually to come attack all of that with a logical perspective. I've definitely already started implementing some of that, so I thought that was a really good session. And then it kind of wrapped up then with a kind of an AMA, didn't it? So that was the final session of the whole conference, was an AMA with the two founders, Emmanuel and Josh. And I think sometimes you go into these AMAs thinking, oh, this is just going to be, you know, a load of, it's kind of corporate speak, and there's nothing going to be actually like really seriously discussed. But I was really, really impressed with the AMA about the candid answers that they gave to, you know, some quite tough questions and stuff that is on a lot of people's minds. For example, about the whole M&A situation, what is on their minds about M&A? And I, you know, 100% believed what they said, that, you know, actually they are not interested in any kind of acquisition for Bubble right now. They see a huge opportunity ahead. And, you know, I think there's always been a bit of a meme that, you know, oh, we're just waiting for Microsoft to acquire them or whatever, and they outright just said, no, we've never had any discussions with them, and they were 100% kind of all in on growing the platform. I mean, they've also been working on it for 11 years, so I kind of, it was reassuring to hear that, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, we're not going to see some massive acquisition of the platform and it being shuttered, obviously, because this is always on people's minds when you have some kind of element of platform risk. But were there any kind of standouts from that AMA for you?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree that it was, yeah, refreshingly transparent and honest. And I think that was really important to see. And I think the community really appreciated that, because, yeah, often you don't get that kind of transparency. Yeah, I thought all their answers were pretty good. Some of the questions were tough. I think, you know, one person was asking about, you know, when are we going to be able to export our code? Is that going to be possible? Because that's obviously one of the remaining gripes that people have, is that you're locked into Bubble and you can't just export your code. And Josh gave what I thought was a very clear answer, that, you know, when you're building an app on Bubble, they're not just generating code behind the scenes that can then be exported. Like, it's intricately tied in to Bubble, the Bubble platform and all the Bubble source code. And that brings with it a lot of benefits and a lot of features that you couldn't have if it was just a code generator. But then, yeah, on the flip side, it's very difficult for them to untwine those things. So he said, yeah, it's not on our roadmap really, and it's because it just would be so difficult to do. And I thought, yeah, you know, fair enough. There's no point in telling people, yes, one day you will be able to export your code, if it's so difficult to do that actually it's just not possible. And yeah, it's like, it's honest, because we know Bubble has its benefits, and this is one of the downsides, is that you are locked in. So you kind of have to take a leap of faith when you're choosing to build your project on Bubble. But in many ways, the benefits outweigh this one negative.
Absolutely. And I thought it was also great to hear that, you know, they're never going to do any kind of lockdown on the API connector, for example. So if you do, like I do, and we've spoken about before, if you do want to use an external database and not use Bubble for certain things, you know, they haven't got a problem with that. Obviously, their goal long term is to make Bubble scale a bit better in some of these ways, particularly with databases. I think there was some interesting discussion about what's coming on the database over the next year. I think there's a lot of good things happening in terms of scale on that. I will just quickly just say, if anyone is watching on Twitter or LinkedIn, and you want to ask any questions, just drop a comment under the video, because we are talking live. So if there's anything about No Code Summit or the BubbleCon that you wanted to ask us, just drop a comment. But yeah, I think that kind of brought together the end of the official summit. And then in the evening, we went to Pierre, who organizes the No Code drinks. So I think he's organized them all around the world now. So we've done one in London, we did the one in Paris, and then the one in New York as well, which I think was a really, really great way to wrap off the end of the summit. Emmanuel and Josh came along, and yeah, what were your kind of thoughts from that kind of wrap up of the whole event, the official event?
Yeah, well, it was another great opportunity to just hang out with people. And thank you to Pierre, nocodedrinks.com, for organizing all these events, like, pretty much selflessly. I can't see any benefit being the person who organizes a rowdy bunch of nerds, but he seems to do it. He seems to enjoy doing it, which is crazy, and he's really good at it. So yeah, totally appreciated him bringing everyone together, and yeah, just more great conversations. You know, it's so good to meet people like Geo, the self-proclaimed best Bubble dev, and Jordan Richardson, who like, I bought his course, his Bubble course. It's amazing. And he's such a great teacher. And then you meet him in real life and you're like, oh my God, he's just such a nice guy. And, you know, Eli Beachy, who's been a Bubble legend for ages. Yeah, it was just great hanging out with all these people. And yeah, we were super lucky to be able to go to the Bubble offices on our last day in New York, which I thought was a really great end to an excellent trip.
It really was, and it was really nice to be asked. I think it was co-CEO Emmanuel's idea actually, and it was all quite last minute. A bunch of people from the conference. We got an email, and we were invited to the HQ, I guess, in New York. And it was really fantastic to see it actually, and to meet some of the team in person again. We had that kind of round table discussion where we could literally just ask any questions about what had happened in the conference and where Bubble was going. And again, I thought we got some really interesting and candid answers there. We went further into the whole funding situation and the M&A stuff a bit further. And, you know, that was some really reassuring answers there. And we also went into some quite technical stuff about the database, about logs in Bubble. So I was really excited to hear that the logs are something they're planning to improve. Obviously, when you've got an app with kind of billions of actions happening, the logs in their current state aren't always super helpful with that. And it was just really good to talk through a little bit what was coming. The other thing that I thought was good was the focus on version control. Obviously, as more and more apps scale and these startups using Bubble getting bigger and bigger, it's increasingly important that it's easy to work on an application with multiple devs doing multiple things at the same time. Obviously, we have kind of versions and branches now, but it was great to hear that, you know, the goal is to get much closer to kind of having parity with GitHub effectively, where you can see which developer worked on which thing, and some much much better kind of visualization of what had changed between each version and what conflicts there might be. So that was also really, really good to hear. Was there anything else from that kind of roundtable that you thought was exciting?
It was all good. There was nothing which, there's nothing which I thought, oh my God, this is controversial. This is bad. It was all pretty positive. Even though they were getting some tough questions, not from me, I should add, but from some of the people in the room. And fair enough. But they handled them very well. And I think it's great to hear about all this stuff, which is just making Bubble more and more suitable for, corporates and enterprises to build applications on. And they're talking about getting, all their different compliance certifications and things like that, which is, again, going to be more things to tick off. So, yeah, I thought it was really exciting, and it was great to be there and see the office where the magic happens. And, you know, it's lovely open plan space. Everyone looked like they were eating lunch together, like very friendly. There was a nice little trolley of booze that I noticed, which apparently people take to on a Friday afternoon, which is always good for team bonding. It was such a good way to end the trip. And I actually said to Josh just before we were leaving, we'd just taken a group photo, and I said to him, meaning it completely honestly, genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for helping me to feed my family, because like he's basically, his app has given me a new career, which is now my, the way I make a living. And he just replied, well, thank you for helping me to feed my family. And I was like, oh yeah, well, it's amazing to have that kind of symbiotic synergy where, their app is really, really helping all these people to build new careers and learn new skills. And at the same time, I'm paying for like 11 Bubble apps personally, just because I can't bring myself to shut some of them down. So yeah, that's probably buying him a few lunches every month. So you're welcome, Josh and Emmanuel. But it was a nice moment. I'm sure he's given that answer to plenty of other people, but I thought it was quite fitting.
Yeah, it was a lovely way to wrap up the summit. And, really a great job by all the Bubble team, especially JV, who was kind of largely responsible for the BubbleCon, I think, who only joined a few months before it happened. So, given there wasn't much time to put it together, it was really impressive. There were lots of questions about, is there going to be one next year? No commitment yet, but I suspect there will be one, if not next year, the year after. I feel like there is there's a massive demand for it, and I would imagine the next one will be way more people than the first one. So, yeah, very, very exciting future. I think that kind of wraps up a lot of what of what happened at both No Code Summit and the BubbleCon. We've kind of given you the overview there. We are going to be doing, I'm going to be writing about it a little bit more. And of course, you can find us both on Twitter as well if you want to ask any questions or just follow along what we've been up to. So yeah, Kieran, anything else for this week? Or I think that's probably it.
Yeah, no, that's all. I think that was a good summary.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for listening or watching. Also, it'd be interesting to hear what you thought of doing this live. I think this is it's quite an interesting experience to do it like this, as we normally pre-record it. So yeah, let us know what you thought, and we'll see you next time. But that's it. Thank you.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye.